In your Bibles, please, for our second reading. We'll find that in chapter 11 of 2 Kings. Second Kings 11, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Shur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, and he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in. And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and they said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went down his altars and his images. All the people of the land went down into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, Athaliah is a helpful picture in Scripture to know certain things. So let's make sure that we understand this maybe from a fuller, more historical perspective. What did Jehu do in the last chapter? Killed 70 of Ahab's sons. Athaliah sees what has happened and that her own son is dead. And so what does she do? She kills all the seed royal. Sometimes we isolate those two events. I believe that they are related. Athaliah is paying back the house of David for what Jehu did. And so all of the house of David is slain, or so Athaliah thinks. But a heroine by the name of Jehoshabiah, right? Jehoshabiah, what does she do? Well, she takes her nephew and she saves him. He's a baby. She saves him from the wrath of Athaliah and hides him in a place where Athaliah will never find him because she never goes there in the house of the Lord. And that's where he's held up. And remember that the house of the Lord had little apartments in it for the visiting Levites as they came in from all over the land to serve in the house of the Lord for their two-week tour. So that's where they kept him. They kept Jehoash, or Joash, if you will, in the house of the Lord, and they kept him for 7 years or 6 years. And during that time, Athaliah did reign over the land, we find out in verse 3. So Athaliah's design was not only revenge upon the house of David, but also that she might reign over the southern kingdom as well. And I think we might rightly say that if Athaliah was to reign over the southern kingdom, that she had designs on bringing the two kingdoms together under Baal worship. She herself was a Baal worshiper. Okay. So fast forward, and the seventh year, right? So the seventh year of the king, Jehoiada. So he was somewhere between 0 and 1 years of age, 1 year of age when he was holed up in the temple. Then after 6 years go by, so he's in his seventh year. He's coming up to his seventh year, or perhaps he's already seven and heading toward eight. And so the high priest, Jehoiada, fetches two different military forces, security forces. The captains of the guards and the rulers over hundreds. The captain of the guard, we're talking about the temple guard here. The temple had to have a separate guardian force over it because it was not possible for soldiers to enter into the temple that were not Levites. And so there was a Levitical force that kept the temple itself safe. You'll remember they opposed King Uzziah when he came in to offer incense. They're Levites, but they're bearing swords because they're the security force, the police officers, the soldiers that guarded the temple. So that's the captains of the guard, and then also the rulers over hundreds. Because what is about to be undertaken here is a civil act. It's not a churchly act. Now, there's a mingling here because of the circumstances. Where is the king, Joash or Jehoash, where is he? He's in the temple. So he can only be brought out by the captains of the guard. The non-Levitical guardians, they can't go into the temple and fetch him out. He's got to be brought out by the temple guard so that the temple itself is not defiled by non-Levites. He's in the innermost part of it where the Levites stayed. Right. Okay, so we're not told how many it were, but these were pretty tall officers, high up in rank. They were captains over hundreds and thousands. We don't know how many they had there, but let us say it this way. It was enough to get the job done, right? If anyone comes to oppose you, if anything comes, quote, within the ranges, what does that mean? If someone tries to get through our ranks, dispatch him, take care of him. We're about a manly business today. We're getting rid of the usurper Athaliah, and we're installing the rightful king. This is a day of praise and worship to Jehovah for restoring to the throne a son of David, right? As a part of our messianic hope. Okay, so Jehoiada makes a plan. He divides them into three parts, these forces. Some are coming in on the Sabbath. Some are going out on the Sabbath. Some are going to be involved in the king's house. Others are going to be involved in the temple. In other words, there's a competent plan made. It turns out that Jehoiada not only is high priest, but he has a pretty good strategy for bringing a king to power here. No doubt he's been thinking about it a while. Okay, so they come out, they have surrounded the king, and they take him down that corridor way by the pillar of the temple. That's one of those front pillars, whether Boaz or Jachin, I don't know. But they have him standing there, and they clap their hands, and they say, God save the king. But there's something else that they did there, very, very important. Notice, they put the crown upon him, and then what did they do? They gave him the testimony. What is that? They put the Bible in his hands. Right? And then they anointed him and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. Well, it's pretty obvious that it was Jehoiada, that the Lord put it in the heart of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada is simply obeying the voice of the Lord. He has enough scripture to do what he's doing. Athaliah, by the law of God, is seen to be a usurper and a murderess. And also, there is a king, Joash, who belongs on the throne as the seed of David. He has everything he needs from the scripture. He's a man obedient to the Bible here, and that's how we want to see him. Even though his actions extend into the civil realm, he is doing what churchmen have done for centuries, and that is to gather the civil leaders around them and say, this is what you ought to do in the Lord. Okay, so he made a covenant with them. Remember that we only want to make those kinds of oaths in times of weight and moment. This is one of those times where there was an oath with regard to him revealing the king to them, and then an oath with what they were about to do to install him. And so they did this by an oath, by a covenant, by a vow, and forward they went and not backward. Well, Athaliah heard the noise because the king's house wasn't far from the temple. And she looked out and she came out and she went toward the temple and she saw the king standing by the pillar as the manner was. What manner? The crown, the anointing, and the testimony. That manner. And the people saying, God save the king. We've seen this before. It's not the first time we've seen this. And then the people rejoiced and blew with trumpets. Why would the people rejoice? Because when the wicked reign, the people groan. And when you bring back the right leadership, the people rejoice. So they did. They rejoiced. The only one there that wasn't rejoicing that day was Athaliah. And she cried, treason, treason, because her usurped power was being taken from her. Understand this, that when usurpers take power, they don't give it up without the charge of treason. Or shall we say, insurrection. Yeah. So, what does Jehoiada say, hearing her cry out treason? But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges. That is, without the ranges here would mean she's not going to be killed in the temple of the Lord. She's going to be killed in the environs outside of the temple ground. So they take her through the way of the horses. This is reminiscent of her mother, Jezebel, being trampled by horses, isn't it? So they take her out the way of the horses and they slay her there by the side of the king's house. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And there are some folks that would take chapter 11, verse 17 there, the verse that I just read to you, and make that a sort of thing with regard to all nations, that every nation should be a covenanted nation to the Lord. Well, that is certainly one way of promoting righteousness, but it may not be the only way. There may be other ways, like to have what I would call a legal instrument entered into the record, into the law of the land, say, oh, I don't know, the Westminster Confession of Faith, entered into the record of the United States Constitution in such a way that the civil authority knows which church is a true church or not, right? So what did they do then after this covenant was made? Because they have made the covenant now to be the Lord's people, then because Athaliah is gone, now her worship needs to go as well. And notice that there's this house of Baal. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't we read in the last chapter that the house of Baal had been made a draft house, a stink house? Yes, we did. But that was in Samaria. This is in Jerusalem. And so what happens here? In Samaria, it can remain a draft house, but in Jerusalem, it has to be beat down, has to be taken up. All the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. They couldn't have officers over the house of the Lord in that day because out of fear of Athaliah. And so now Jehoiada puts the worship of God in order by doing two things. And these two things will always be necessary for putting the worship of God in order. What is it? Take out the bad and put in the good. The bad is anything that is contrary to the word of God, and the good is anything that is commensurate with it. That's how it works. Okay, so then the other thing, he took the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of kings. Now, out of the house of the Lord being protected there, now he's in the throne of kings surrounded by the rightful guardians, the civil guardians that should be protecting the king. And we see that he was 7 years old when he began to reign. And the land rejoiced and the city was quiet. This is what happens when wicked rulers are put down. The city becomes quiet. All right, well, that's the end of